And now it's time for Highlights from Christian History with Michael Goins. It has been said that a people that forgets its history loses its identity. And without a doubt, contemporary confusion about what it means to be a Christian, and even a Baptist, may be directly traced to the idea that the past is irrelevant to the modern world. In such a climate, intent on deconstructing history, we are more convinced than ever that an understanding of our rich history is of paramount importance. So we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Highlights from Christian History. Here's Brother Goins with today's segment.
Our topic today is Acts, the first 30 years, part 2. We're looking at 30 to 60 AD. We begin in Acts chapter 10, Paul and the church at Antioch. The conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9 marks a turning point in the apostolic period of the church. From this point, Paul's apostolic influence, instead of Peter's, assumes prominence, and Antioch church, instead of Jerusalem, gradually assumes a central role in early church activity. That Christ intended his church to grow beyond a Jewish context is clear from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." When I read that verse, I think of a diagram of concentric circles. In the middle is Jerusalem. The circle outside of that is Judea. The next circle is Samaria. And then, finally, the uttermost parts of the earth. Persecution proved to be the impetus for expanding beyond the city of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. As persecution intensified, many Christians were dispersed and the early church was decentralized. But like the ancient Hebrews who multiplied the more that Pharaoh attempted to exterminate them, the church only grew as a result of persecution. The dissemination of believers into the outlying regions simply broadened the potential influence of the gospel, and this paved the way for the expansion of the gospel among the Gentiles. Christ commissioned Paul to be his apostle to the Gentiles, Acts 9:15. Acts chapters 10 through 28 is almost exclusively devoted to developing the story of the circulation of the gospel among Gentile nations. It's appropriate, therefore, that the final reference to the Apostle Peter's influence within the early church, before his ministry is eclipsed by Paul's, is the story of the Gentile Cornelius's conversion, recorded in Acts chapter 10. It's impossible to exaggerate the importance of this cultural shift. Prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles seemed to be an insurmountable social hurdle. The ethnic tension between the two groups was incredible. To the Orthodox Jew, social contact or fraternity with a Gentile was taboo. But God knew how to overcome Peter's reluctance and prejudice. Cornelius was a Gentile whom God had cleansed even prior to gospel conversion, Acts chapter 10, verse 15. He gave evidence by his works of righteousness and his pious fear of God that he had already been born again prior to Peter's visit, Acts chapter 10, verse 35. After Peter preached, the household of Cornelius experienced a mini Pentecost with an effusion of the Holy Spirit comparable to that seminal day, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 46. Cornelius and his family were baptized, and Peter tarried with them certain days. When Peter returned to Jerusalem, however, he met with opposition for breaching these cultural barriers, Acts 11, 1 to 3. But after he reviewed the details of the story with the brethren, they rejoiced that, quote, "God also had granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life," Acts 11, 18. Meanwhile, the dispersed believers traveled to Antioch and preached the Lord Jesus to the Greeks, many of whom believed, Acts 11, 19 to 21. Like a spreading flame, the gospel of Christ could not be contained by social and cultural boundaries. As tidings of these developments reached Jerusalem church, the apostles dispatched Barnabas to Antioch, Acts 11:22. The evidence of God's grace upon them was conclusive, and Barnabas encouraged them to be loyal and faithful to Christ, Acts 11:23. Tarsus, the hometown of Paul, was less than 100 miles from Antioch, though the narrative does not reveal Barnabas's thought process. He left Antioch, quote, to seek Saul. When he found him, Barnabas brought him back to Antioch, where they both stayed and ministered for the next year. It was here that the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians, Acts 11:26. It was from Antioch Church that Paul and Barnabas were dispatched to circulate the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world, Acts 13:1-3. They sailed to Cyprus, Acts 13:4, then to Antioch of Pisidia, Acts 13:14. It was there that they entered the Jewish synagogue and Paul began to preach his sermon, as recorded in Acts 13:16-41. At the conclusion of his sermon, the Gentiles approached him with the request that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath, Acts 13:42. When the next Sabbath day arrived, almost the entire city turned out for preaching, but Paul's sermon was not welcomed by all. The unbelieving Jews contradicted and blasphemed. Paul, however, was undaunted, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." From this point forward, Paul's evangelistic activity is almost exclusively limited to the Gentiles, and Jewish opposition to the spread of the gospel intensifies dramatically. The first doctrinal crisis. It was inevitable that the rapid influx of Gentiles into the early church would cause tension. When some Jewish men visited Antioch Church and insisted that compliance with the law of Moses was essential to salvation, Paul and Barnabas journeyed to Jerusalem Church to meet with the apostles and elders, Acts 15. The council debated the issue. Peter recounted his experience at the house of Cornelius. Paul and Barnabas reviewed their labors among the Gentiles, and James supported Peter's report by quoting from the Old Testament prophet Amos, Acts 15:15-18, Amos 9, verses 11 and 12, suggesting that the apostles hesitate to impose regulations on the Gentile churches except in the case of a few ethical matters, Acts 15:20. The letter detailing certain dietary restrictions and the importance of sexual purity is recorded in Acts 15, verses 23 to 29. This official edict from the apostles was the defining moment in the battle to win acceptance for Gentile believers. But some Jews would not immediately abandon their cultural and ethnic biases. Paul labored to be sensitive to these prejudices, and he was careful to do nothing that might hinder the progress of the gospel, Acts 16, 1-4. When the Judaizers troubled the Galatian churches, however, insisting that Christ's work on the cross must be supplemented by obedience to Moses' law for salvation, Paul identified it as another, that is, different, gospel, Galatians 1:6. His letter to the churches in Galatia is a defense of the message of salvation by grace alone, a message that he terms, quote, the truth of the gospel, Galatians 2:5. The Macedonian Call. Meanwhile, the westward movement of the church was being orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. When Paul and Timothy planned to go to Asia and Bithynia, the Spirit suffered them not, Acts 16, 6-7. Instead, Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia, that is Greece, imploring his help, Acts 16, 9-10. So they set out at once for Philippi, a chief city of Macedonia. There they found a woman named Lydia who was baptized with her family and whose house became the headquarters of their ministry in that city, Acts 16:11-15. After other converts were baptized and a church was established, Paul journeyed to Thessalonica, Acts 17:1-9, Berea, Acts 17:10-15, Athens, Acts 17:16-34, and Corinth, Acts 18:1-17. He stayed in Corinth for 18 months, preaching the word and establishing the church in the faith. A door opened in Ephesus. Paul's desire to preach in Asia had been postponed for a couple of years. Now, however, the Holy Spirit was pleased to open a great and effectual door in the important metropolitan city of Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. He sailed from Corinth with Aquila and Priscilla, leaving them in Ephesus while he returned temporarily to Antioch Church. Acts 18:18-23. After a brief visit at Antioch, Paul set out for Ephesus via the regions of Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and confirming the churches on the way. Meanwhile, Aquila and Priscilla had located a gifted young preacher named Apollos in Ephesus, to whom they explained the gospel, Acts 18:24-28. This man would prove to be a great benefit to the churches, especially in Corinth. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, he first rebaptized a dozen or so men who had only received the baptism of John, Acts 19:1-7. These new Christians became the nucleus of the church in Ephesus. For 2 years, Paul utilized the School of Tyrannus, a philosophical debating society, as a platform for advancing the gospel. This popular school proved to be a powerful venue for mass marketing the gospel, Acts 19:10. In Ephesus, the truth triumphed over the superstitions of magic, Acts 19:19, and idolatry, Acts 19:23-41, and a strong church, which would later become the hub of post-apostolic activity, was established. It was an emotional scene when Paul finally departed Ephesus church to return to Jerusalem, never to see their faces again, Acts 20:17-38. The gospel spreads to Italy. Though many advised Paul against returning to Jerusalem, he would not be deterred, Acts 21:4-13. The climate in that city was now extremely hostile toward Christians, but God intended to use his servant Paul to spread the gospel deep into Europe. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and brought before a court, Acts 21:27-40. When they began to scourge him, he asked if it was lawful for them to beat a Roman, for he had been freeborn, Acts 22:25-29. Paul eventually appealed to Caesar and was transported to Rome, where he was placed under house arrest. The book of Acts concludes with Paul preaching to everyone with whom he came into contact for the space of 2 whole years, and the gospel had moved from Jerusalem to Europe.
Thank you for joining us today for this brief snapshot from the past. Please join us again soon for another episode of Highlights from Christian History.